How's it going, everyone? My name is Scott Bennett, and thank you for listening to the Third Decade Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dan Otter, who's the founder of 403BWise. They're a website and nonprofit dedicating to helping teachers understand the ins and outs of their 403B plans. One of the core goals of the Third Decade is to ensure that participants understand the different retirement accounts they are eligible for, including employer-sponsored plans. 403Bs are a type of employer-sponsored plan for certain public employees and tax-exempt organization, and they are the most common type of defined contribution plan for teachers, which teachers also happen to be the most common profession in the Third Decade program. So we thought Dan would be an excellent resource to share with you all. He has a really interesting story and is really a wealth of knowledge of all things having to do with 403B plans. You can also apply some of this knowledge to some of the other types of plans, like a 401k you might come in contact with. 403B plans do have some more complexities in those. So it could be a really good starting point for anybody who's in a employer-sponsored plan that they think could be a little bit better. So here's my conversation with Dan. I hope you'll enjoy. Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
It is my pleasure to be here.
So as I said, kind of in the intro, you're an educator, but you seem to have kind of carved out this niche and have a real passion for the investment and retirement side of the profession and education as a whole, which is pretty unique. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be such an expert on 403B plans?
Yeah, if you had told me 30 years ago that in 2021, I would be an expert on some arcane portion of IRS code, I would think, you know, my life has gone terribly wrong. But it's the opposite. I love helping teachers. I am passionate about disrupting the what we describe as the broken K-12 403B. And it was sort of serendipity the way I got into this. I was a first-year teacher. The kids had left for the day. It was probably my third month on the job, and I'm at the front desk frantically getting ready for the next day's instruction, as I think new teachers can relate to, when a woman appears at my door and she pokes her head in and says, and I'll never forget this, "Do you care about your financial future?" I mean, that's a jarring comment, right?
Yeah,
to get any time. And so I look up from my stack of papers and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I think there's only one answer, right? Yes. Yeah. So she took it as an invitation to come into my room. And she starts talking about this investment she has and how she helps, you know, the third grade teacher next door, the sixth grade teacher down the hall. And Scott, I have no idea what she's talking about. You know, I have some vague notion that I'm now part of a pension system. And I've sort of heard, oh, it's formula based, basically teach for 30 years and you get this pension. That's all I knew. And, you know, there were so many shocking things about this. She had the paperwork all filled out. All as I had to do was sign it, and something like, you know, very nominal amount, like $150 would come out. And so I politely listened and I just said, and I'm really glad I did this. I said, you know, thanks. Thank you very much. If I'm interested, I will get in touch. And I'm really glad I didn't, because I began to self-educate myself about saving for retirement. And I learned what she was selling were high-cost variable annuity products.
Yeah.
And I also found out many of my colleagues had been sold these. And so I learned that it wasn't just my school, it just wasn't my school district, that this was a national problem, that the majority of teachers only have high-cost insurance-based products. So now we're at about, you know, 6-7 years later, we're about year 2000. And you're young, you probably don't remember this, but the internet, it was, you know, it kind of suddenly seemed accessible, like anyone could start a website, start a business. So in 2000, a friend and I launched 403BWise, and we were a .com at the time. And we launched it, I think, in March 2000. And the whole goal was just simply education and advocacy. We wanted to be a place where teachers and school employees could come and get unbiased information. And then we also wanted to be a place to help them advocate for lower cost investment choices, because that's something I learned, the power of indexing, the power of low cost.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we launched the website literally from my garage in Southern California. And then slowly people started reaching out to us, and we got connected to a teacher in Los Angeles who had been a 403B advocate there. It just so happened to be that he was going to be interviewed by a reporter from U.S. News and World Report. And he said, I'm going to give the reporter your contact information. And the reporter contacted me. He interviewed me. And so 3 months after our launch, our website was listed as a resource in this article that went into U.S. News and World Report. And I took that and then reached out to this NPR radio program I used to listen to, because, again, no podcast back then.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the radio. And it was a Saturday morning show called Sound Money. And I basically organized my Saturday morning around that so I could be home to listen to it. And I emailed them and I said, look, I love what you do. You know, you never talk about the 403B. You should do something on that. Oh, by the way, I have this website, and we were just mentioned in U.S. News and World Report. They emailed me an hour later and said, would you like to be interviewed next Tuesday? And I remember immediately getting nervous, like, oh, my God, I'm going to be on NPR.
Yeah.
And somehow I survived that interview, and then just things started happening, you know. So anyway, that's the origin story.
So amazing. And I felt so many parallels when you were talking to kind of why we were created. It's like, here's an issue. Let's try and be a positive influence on this issue. And you had personal experience with it. And your story is not very unique, I would guess, to a lot of teachers. Where it is unique is the fact that, you know, you did something about it, and something either in your past, or you had the wherewithal and the ability to say, oh, I want to learn more about this, and this doesn't seem right, which is awesome. And it's just people are very lucky that you were able to do that, I think, because now look at how many people have used your resource and continue to. So you touched on this a little bit when you were talking of, like, you know, this was a high cost variable annuity, which, you know, even when I say that to a lot of third decaders, they probably don't even know what that is. I think even some financial advisors that I talk to that I know, I'm a CFP, I'll be the first to tell you annuities are one of the more complicated things you can look into. But, you know, as a whole, 403B plans have kind of been synonymous. It's not like a secret that they usually have higher costs and not as many options and things like that. Why do you think that's the case? Have you done any research into, like, how we got here?
Yeah, I have, actually. And I really think there's, you know, I would say there's three factors. The first is, at its founding in 1958, and this is a little surprising to people, it predates the 401k by 20 years.
Wow.
Okay, so the 403B was created in 1958. And at its outset, only insurance products could be used. So the industry kind of got its meat hooks, you know, into the participants at that point. But in 1974, so this isn't like yesterday, this is pretty long time ago. I mean, I think Gerald Ford or Nixon was the president. This is how long ago, you know, we're talking. Mutual funds were permitted in something called a 403B custodial account. So they've been available for a long time. But I think the biggest factor, Scott, is that K-12 403B plans fall outside of ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, which, you know, requires a fiduciary duty on the part of the employer. And again, I have empathy for school districts. They have so many missions. Teachers generally have a pension. The 403B is a supplemental plan. So they take a very hands-off approach. Now, not all school districts do that. You know, the majority are not great at the 403B. One of my old school districts I used to work at in Montgomery County, Maryland, they do it right. They have one low-cost vendor fidelity. So it can be done if school districts want to do that. But I think people, humans respond to incentives, and employers right now don't, in my, you know, my mind, have enough of an incentive to really do what's best for employees. And then I think the third part is, and this is where I think your organization can make a difference, we're not educating young teachers about this. They're not learning it in their credential program. I used to be a professor of education. I taught social studies methods. My last class was always dedicated to teacher retirement plans. I still get emails from my students from the University of New Mexico. I remember 5 years ago, our last day of class, you talking about something, and I think you said, don't do this company, and I feel like I might have, anyway, signed up with them. And so I just wish more teachers would do that. If we could teach them about their choices, their retirement plan choices, before they go into the classroom, then they're not going to be susceptible to the sales agent in the staff lounge with the free sandwiches. Because I know I taught elementary school for almost a decade. It is easily the most exhausting job I've ever done. And I was in my 20s, in early 30s when I taught. You're a teacher, you've been working with elementary kids for 4 hours, you walk into the staff lounge and there's someone in a suit with free sandwiches, and you know, they're selling something that you don't know, and they make it sound like a really good benefit. Yeah, of course you're going to sign up. And that's how most teachers, you know, this is what happens to them. And that's where we really hear from teachers about 5 years into their career or having their 403B. They get wind that something's amiss. Mm-hmm. And so they'll come to us, and you know, we're now a nonprofit, and we have just a very robust Facebook group. And you know, we've got close to 4,000 teachers from around the country. So they'll come on, they'll post, and then our community jumps in and helps them. But those are really the three factors, Scott.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I mean, the history behind it, I had no idea around. But, you know, your point of like this ground up approach, that's what we have. We talk about it to all of our participants because we ask them, you know, not even in your 403B, but in your 401K or your 457, we ask them to upload their investment choices. We want to know that. So as they meet with a mentor, they can talk through those choices and stuff. And the mentor can help educate them on here's your lowest cost and here's the most diversified choices, things like that. Where that's an easy thing to change. And we've seen participants change it when they're going to one HR professional and they're, you know, and they're privately owned company that has 20 employees, but you're going to need a lot of teachers to go to HR and say, hey, this is wrong. We demand it to be different if you're going to affect the 403B. So it is an uphill battle, I would assume, to do that, because it's much, much, you're not only do you have the history, but you, as you said, you have school districts that are stretched thin already, and you know, as an added benefit, quote unquote, I'm sure it's easy to put behind on the back burner.
No, 100%. And again, the irony is it's lack of education. Teachers don't know what they don't know. And when they contact me either through the Facebook group or email, they feel apologetic almost. They feel like it was their fault. And almost the first thing, you know, out of my keyboard is, do not beat yourself up. You did not know what you did not know. And that's part of it too. I have yet to meet a teacher when we explain the difference in cost that think that's cool. They start to get really mad and then they get really motivated. So it's an obvious problem when it's laid out to people.
For sure. So in that same vein, if you had a young teacher who reached out, And let's start at the very beginning. They say, I don't even know if I'm in a 403B plan or something like that. Where do you usually tell teachers to start? If you can have an audience of a young teacher who wants to do the best thing in terms of their financial future, where do you tell them to start?
You know, I would start by begin with your pension. Understand how that's going to work for you. Most pension agencies have excellent online resources, calculators. You can do assumptions about if I teach for 30 years, here's what I think I might have at retirement. But then this is a surprise to a lot of teachers. They have not just one, but two supplemental retirement plans available. You know, the 403B, which we've been talking about, and then the 457B. So I would begin with find out your vendor list. This is the list of financial companies. So start with the 403B, get that list. Again, unlike 401k employers where there's usually one vendor, most vendor lists are going to have three to where in my city where I live in Southern California, we have 42 choices. Whoa. 39 of them are high cost and terrible. So find out who your vendor list is, the companies on this. And here's what I'm hoping, that you have one of the following companies, Aspire Financial Services. Now, they are more like a supermarket of financial companies. They have hundreds, thousands of financial companies that you can invest through, including low-cost ones, which I'm going to mention, Fidelity and Vanguard. So you can access them for a small fee through Aspire Financial Services. In California, CalSTRS Pension 2, the state pension agency actually created a 403B, a low-cost 403B.
Amazing.
And they are in probably 90% of the districts, and they will go into any district they're not currently available in Southern California. So Aspire Financial Services, CalSTRS Pension 2 in California, Fidelity Investments, ICMA, RC, T. Rowe Price, TIAA, and then Vanguard. So the hope is you have one of those companies. So what we tell people is take your vendor list, post it on the 403B Wise Facebook group, and our community is going to jump in and let you know.
Yeah.
Several of the high-cost companies actually have secret low-cost options available. Security Benefit, one of the biggest offenders, has this relationship with the National Education Association, which we deplore. The NEA lends its name in exchange for financial compensation. Mm-hmm. So they had a product called the NEA Value Builder. If you're a teacher and you've never heard of the 403B, but you've heard of your union and you see this, you might want to go for that. And again, I'm not anti-union. Unions do tremendous things for teachers.
Yeah.
So that's, again, part of the landmines that teachers face.
Right.
So post that on the Facebook group, and let's say you have no good choices. So what we would do then is a couple things. We would say, lobby your employer. And what we tell people to do is, you know, build an army. Don't go by yourself.
Right.
Share this information with colleagues. Because, again, as I'd said earlier, most people, when they understand this, they start to get pretty agitated. So get, you know, more advocates. Go to our website, 403bwise.org. We have an advocacy section. And in that advocacy section, we have form letters that you can adapt to send to your district, to your benefits office. We have short presentations that you can show colleagues, you can show your employer. We have teacher-created presentations that you can use in your advocacy efforts. We have a 403B calculator you can use. We have short videos you can use. So we have all these tools. And then I would tell teachers, look at the 457B plan. Mm-hmm. Scott, it is actually, we think now, because of a recent change, superior to the 403B. It has two really appealing features that the 403B doesn't have. Your employer has to allow this, but it's permitted under the 457B. 3 years prior to a retirement age designated by the plan, so let's just say it's 63,
yeah,
you're allowed to double your contributions into a 457B for 3 years. Catch. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Right now it's 19,500 times two. If my math is right, that is $39,000 you could sock away, a tremendous amount. And then the second provision, which is probably really appealing to the FIRE community, you know, financially independent, retire early. When you leave your employer, you can access your 457B tax penalty free. So there's usually a penalty imposed for accessing retirement plans early. With the 457B, that's not the case. Now, you still have to pay taxes, right? If you take out $50,000, it's going to look like you earned $50,000. But what a tremendous asset if you are retiring at age 50. You can actually use that money. Maybe you want to hold off, you know, getting your pension. So we think, and plus, it's the 457B requires a little bit more fiduciary oversight of the employer. So consequently, the plans are generally better. And one of the real good bonuses is the 457B covers state employees, firefighters, police officers, these kind of jobs. States have state-based 457B plans, and it is just the perfect example of economies of scale. I'll take New York State as an example. They have something called the New York State Deferred Compensation Plan. It's a 457B plan. It has $23 billion of assets under management. Wow. So they are able to make available an S&P 500 fund that charges 0.008. And that is not a mispronunciation. Yeah. That is how cheap that is.
Amazing.
So if you're a teacher in the state of New York, I would look at the 457B before I looked at the 403B. And then finally, what we tell all teachers, you might even want to begin with a Roth IRA.
Right.
As you know, the beauty of the Roth IRA is you pick any financial company you want. You want Vanguard? You can sign up with Vanguard in a matter of hours.
Right.
So maybe start with that plan, because teacher salaries aren't that large at the beginning. They might not need the tax deferral. So anyway, those are the steps that we tell people. So, you know, if you have a bad plan, there are options.
Yeah, that's so helpful. And I think, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Roth part at the end, because that is something that, you know, if we always say, if you have a match, you got to get up to that match first. But with these pensions, most teachers aren't going to have, you know, a separate match within their 457 or 403B. However, then we say, okay, if not, go to the Roth. But to your point of the advocacy and stuff too, you know, the people who do understand this and who get mad enough about it, maybe even have a little bit of a responsibility to make sure the next 24-year-old teacher just starting out doesn't have this as well. Yeah, you can go out and start a Roth, but don't forget about kind of if your system's broken a little bit too. And I think that's what's so cool about your Facebook group and what you all have started. It's this ground up movement to say, no, this is broken. We're here. We know it's broken, so let's fix it. And I think that's a really helpful attitude to have. And you've obviously already seen some success there in educating and stuff. So thanks so much for the work that you're doing and for making this issue so much more known to teachers who, in my opinion, I'm biased. My wife's a teacher, but our most important profession we got out there.
No, I agree. And I appreciate that. And it's what motivates me, getting that email from the teacher who has been taken advantage of. It sparks something in me that makes me want to help to change this system. And I feel like we're making some progress.
Thanks to everybody who listened. I hope you found that as helpful and interesting as we did. As a brief note, we are going to be taking a break this summer in terms of our recording. So for the next few months, we will not be releasing new episodes. We're going to go back and look at the different topics and everything we want to revisit at the end of the summer, continue to record and have new episodes for you here in a couple months. So if you haven't gone back and listened to all of the Third Decade podcast episodes thus far, this is your chance. If you've already listened to them all, thanks, Mom. This is your chance to listen to them again.